KVOE, live and local. 1400 AM, 96.9 FM presents In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
And we welcome you back to In the Garden every Thursday morning here at KVOE, live and local, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. Our In the Garden program brought to you every week by the Emporia Farmers Market. Join them downtown every Saturday, May through October, and Wednesdays, June through September. The Emporia Farmers Market. By Waters Hardware, for everything from home to garden, the team at Waters Hardware, well, they have you covered. They're open 7 days a week at 2727 West Highway 50. And by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. Travis, good morning.
Morning, Ron.
How are you?
I'm good.
So have you made it through the rainfall this week? As we are, picking up some pretty hefty rainfall totals just a couple of days ago, over 5 inches here, and then just about an inch last night.
Yeah, we're making it through. things are definitely wet, to say the least, at this point, especially with parts of town flooding through that whole event.
Yeah.
So, they went through the heat, was shocked from that, and now we got a little too much rain all at once. So we'll just have to see how everything shakes out here, if we can dry out.
Well, yeah, and the drainage was pretty good considering that huge rain we had earlier this week, over 5 inches, and really here in the immediate Emporia area, anywhere from 4 to 6. But it seems like the drainage was pretty good overall. We could have a lot more problems than that.
Yeah, very very much yeah. so. Yeah.
So that that was good, and then the intense heat. We had a high of 98 with a peak heat index of 110 yesterday afternoon. So we go from what has been, we set a record for the coolest daytime high this past weekend for August into extreme heat yesterday. So we've been seeing every part of the spectrum here, haven't we?
We sure have. And so, be watching your plants. Yes, we're getting close to fall, so other signs are going to start to happen. But as we start to dry out going into fall, if Mother Nature allows us to, because sometimes fall can be wet as well. And we'll need to also kind of watch how winter affects us in that as well, that we may need to consider watering throughout the winter months, especially when we have several days in the 50s or so, and then really also next spring, having that up and down where we got super dry. I mean, we had about a little over 4.5 inches at my house west of town, the cracks in the yard were pretty big. And so, when you think about what that does is that soil contracts, you're harming root systems, and then we've pushed it all now back together again. Anywhere that was still had any standing water potentially, and then yesterday you go and put 100-degree weather with it, or heat index, but 90 some degrees, blaring sun. If there's standing water, now we're cooking the soil and anything in it. So we've hit the whole gamut for everything plant-wise and insect-wise. So it's going to be interesting to see going forward what happens. But we may need to consider watching our plants, because they may need some little TLC through the winter, or next spring, maybe even next summer, because, Mother Nature likes to compound everything. So we may just need to watch them because of just the stresses we've put them through, just to help their root systems bounce back from everything we've had within the last month.
Yeah, no kidding.
So,
well, let's see. I think, speaking of the weather, it has been good, fair weather, especially for the, Anderson Building, getting everything in, getting everything out of there, and all the livestock shows that you have been heavily involved with out at the fairgrounds. How things went?
Things have gone tremendously well. You know, we lucked out with the weather. Yes, it was hot when we had Friends of 4-H and did a lot of our inside judging where we had good AC for all that. And then, lo and behold, Mother Nature cooled us off for when we switched to our outside events with all the livestock. So it was one of those years we lucked out. And we got almost everything off the fairgrounds before the big rain. Yeah. Brian was loading the beef onto our onto the truck for that those that were shipped after the sale when the rain was coming down. So he got that those guys who was helping him, they all got quite wet. But otherwise, most of us lucked out on we got all that out before the rain hit. So, I mean, it was perfect weather. The fair itself has gone very well. It was a good year. 2024 was a good fair.
So, what were the reviews? You kind of set the Anderson building up a little bit different, you said, in years past?
Yeah, we switched a couple departments around just to ease with some of our judging this year, and we all liked the look a little bit better. I think it helped us organize the building and display it just a bit better. So that might be something we're going to keep.
Okay.
You know, we didn't hear much complaints of moving a department here and there. So we try to keep it, for lack of a better term, interesting. So that way when you come in, the building feels full, looks good, easy to walk around. Those are our goals when we set the Anderson building, because we want to display all the items that come in the best we can for the public to view it.
Okay, so Lyon County Fair is just about at its official end. The Truck and Tractor Pull grandstand event tomorrow night, then the last night of the carnival, I believe, is Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, so a few more days.
All right, get out and enjoy the remainder of the Lyon County Fair.
Yes.
So, good job, everybody. Yeah, it's been a good fair out there. 342-5863, 342-KVOE, the number to get in with Travis here this morning in the garden. And topic number one this week, Travis wants to touch on harvesting winter squash.
Yes. So this is like our spaghetti squash, butternut. We'll throw acorn in there. All of them are what we consider winter squash, because they're going to have a longer shelf life than our summer squash like zucchini.
Okay.
And so the big difference between the two is one group we let fully mature, the other we don't. So zucchini and summer squash, we tend to harvest it when it's still slightly immature. The seeds are not real huge. The rind is not hard, so we can eat it. Otherwise, those get real fibrous and sometimes are difficult for consumption. Whereas winter squash, we want that hard rind. We want fully mature fruit. So the big thing is how to tell when they're ready. Because if we harvest too soon, then the winter squash, the shelf life, not very good.
Okay.
So we want to make sure we're harvesting right, so that way it will last longer when it's inside and we can store it. So the biggest way or best way, it's also kind of the same with if we're looking at pumpkins and that too, is we're going to test to see how hard that rind really is with our fingernail. So if you can easily slice open that rind with your fingernail, or you can leave a really good indention, it's not ready.
Okay. There you go.
You shouldn't be able to cut into that rind with your fingernail at any means. It should hold its own. That's when they're ready to harvest. And so once they're to that point, that's when you can go ahead and cut it from the vine. You'll want to leave about 2 inches or so of that stem attached to the fruit. And then with anything after we harvest it, you still want to be gentle with it. Even though it's hardened off, we don't want to hurt or put any blemishes, major blemishes, okay, on that rind, because that will then ultimately reduce the shelf life of the product. But once we do that, you know, and we store it in a cool, dry area, then it will last for a while for us. You know, keep some air movement, check on it periodically, just don't, you know, pack it in the corner.
So how cool are we talking about?
Oh, you know, generally I like kind of like what most of our basements run at. So if I know sometimes they can get a little bit warmer, but that cooler temps, 60-ish, 50, okay, you don't want to go too much below 50s, because that will start to harm the fruit itself too. So, you know, just kind of watch that. Don't pack a lot of stuff around it either. We want air movement, because if you keep stuff packed around anything too tight, then we induce rot, and then it's, yeah, no longer good. So really kind of just pick those spots, keep them in there, and then really it's kind of just keep checking on it. If it's starting to feel like it's going soft, then you either should use it up right away, or you may need to pitch it, but you'll just have to kind of watch. But it will definitely last longer than a couple weeks, like a zucchini could after we harvest it. So it's not a harvest and hurry up and eat like some of our other squash varieties.
Good tips there.
Yeah.
So how long is the storage life if kept at proper conditions?
I would say a few months in proper conditions. You maybe even get 4 or 5 months out of it.
Oh, wow.
It varies on the house and the location, to be honest, because some people have like the perfect spot and they can store stuff longer than others. So it really does depend on the location in your house and the airflow throughout.
This is In the Garden. He is Travis Carmichael, and we have a phone call. So let's go ahead and take that right now. Good morning. You're in the garden with Travis.
Question for you. I have a young cherry tree, mm-hmm, and I got powdery mildew on it, and I tried a home remedy with baking soda and water, and it isn't doing the trick, so what can I go to next?
With that, I would use product like fungin oil or dacin oil. Those would be the ones I would use to go after, like the powdery mildew. Also, if it doesn't really correct itself a whole lot here for the rest of the season, I wouldn't be overly worried about it, because we're towards the end of the growing season. Just make sure anything, debris, leaves, and that drop this fall, to get that cleaned up and away from the site. That will help reduce the likelihood of it reoccurring next year.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Hey, thanks for your call. 342-5863-342-KVOA to get in the garden with us here. Travis Carmichael, Ron Thomas, every Thursday morning in the garden here at KVOE. It is 11:19. Stay tuned. We are back with more after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
Transform your lawn this summer with top quality tools from Waters Hardware. They carry the best lawn tools from Greenworks, Husqvarna, and Milwaukee. Whether you need a powerful mower, efficient trimmer, or versatile blower, Waters has you covered. Visit them today for the best deals and elevate your lawn care game. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home in sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
Join KVOE for In the Garden.
Watching the flowers and being able to garden.
Thursdays at 11:05 a.m. with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael.
Fresh vegetables from the garden.
KVOE, 1400 a.m. and 96.9 FM. Live. If it grows.
Seeing all that emerge, start over again.
It's In the Garden and local. In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Live and local.
Welcome back to In the Garden with Travis Carmichael. 342-5863, 342-KVOE is our Sutherland's Home Improvement Studio line number. Yeah, give us a call and we'd love to hear from you if you got any questions. Travis is here to tackle the response. 342-5863. Well, Travis, harvesting pears, where are we there?
Yes, so we're within the window. Anytime between now and through October, depending on the variety, is when we can really start to harvest. Now, pears are a little bit different than some of our other fruit. It's not one that with the mentality that the longer we leave it on there, the better it gets. Unfortunately, with pears, the longer you leave it on there, the worse it's going. They get gritty. The longer they stay on the tree, the sugars in pears will turn to starch. And on our palate, starch is very rigid, and so then it gets that gritty feeling to it. So if you've ever bit into a pear that's been gritty, there's more starch than there is sugar in there. So it does affect then the palatability of that pear. So, you know, it's going to take a bit of finding the perfect time to really harvest it, because we want it at maturity but not at peak because of that. So we're just as it gets there. Most of the time they will tell us when they're ready. So if you look at the fruit itself, some of them will have brown spots all over the fruit. That's normal. Those are called breathing pores, or we call them lenticels in the biology or the botany side of things. That's just those are ports for air exchange within the plant. Trees also have them on their bark, on the limbs and twigs, so it happens on the fruit as well. But we're going to kind of watch to see when the fruit starts to change color. So it will may become more of a darker green than it already is. So it's kind of a light green. It'll get a darker green at maturity. And then it will start to develop its own waxy coating on the outside. So if you're watching them, you'll see that progression. That's what you're looking for. And then also, when you go to lift on the pear itself, and then a slight twist, it should separate itself. It shouldn't be something we gotta pull and yank off the tree. It will separate itself from the tree when it's ready. So that's kind of the best way to tell that they're at the right time, but not too far either. So once you do that and you've harvested, then it doesn't hurt to go ahead and throw them in the refrigerator for a couple days to a few weeks, depending on the variety. So you may have to play around with it a little bit, test one or two to see. You don't want to freeze them, though, in your refrigerator. Okay. So pick the right zone. Anywhere between 31 to 50 degrees is what you're looking for. So kind of know the zones in your refrigerator. But what that does is that helps kind of change any of those starches around and make sure it stays more more sweet than get that grit in there. Once you after a few days in that, then you can remove them and they can sit at 60 to 65 degrees for 1 to 3 weeks, and that will really then top them off for you.
Perfect.
So that's really really what to do to help with that, because they are more of a starchy fruit. Kind of going through that process will help sweeten them up a bit, will help with the palatability of them. Throughout that process, of course, just keep watching, because you may have a couple that start to go bad, get those removed as quick as possible, because then otherwise it could cause problems for the rest of your batch. But that's some things to think about and to watch as if you are one that have pear trees that you really like to harvest the fruit off of.
It is pear time then, huh?
It is. And we're getting close to apple time too. So, you know, it's... Okay. It's the fruit season of our tree fruits, so.
All right, 342-5863-342-KVOE to hop in the garden with us here, Travis Carmichael and Ron Thomas. Stay tuned. We're back with more of In the Garden right after this.
It's summertime, and that means more opportunities to shop fresh and local at the Emporia Farmers Market. June through September, the Farmers Market is open Saturday mornings from 8 to 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Shop for freshly picked produce, local honey and eggs, baked goods, flowers. There's always something new at the Farmers Market. Find us downtown at 7th and Merchant for a fun family atmosphere and friendly Emporia area vendors. See you at the market.
Professionalism, expertise, and experience. Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate is ready to help you with the summer housing market. Whether it's buying or selling, may your walls know joy, may every room hold laughter, and every window open to great possibility. Let Judy Turner at Farm and Home Real Estate help you find that perfect home and sell your existing home. Contact Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate at 620-344-6165.
Transform your lawn this summer with top quality tools from Waters Hardware. They carry the best lawn tools from Greenworks, Husqvarna, and Milwaukee. Whether you need a powerful mower, efficient trimmer, or versatile blower, Waters has you covered. Visit them today for the best deals and elevate your lawn care game. Great gifts, home and lawn improvement, and an extensive selection of rentals all under one roof at Waters Hardware. 2727 West Highway 50 in Emporia.
From Game 1 to Game 162, you can hear the Kansas City Royals all season long on KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. Cheer on your boys in blue, live and local.
Hey, ball!
In the Garden with K-State Extension horticulturalist Travis Carmichael. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome back to our final segment of In the Garden, KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. Travis Carmichael, Lyon County Extension horticulturalist, in with us, 342-5863-342-KVOE. We'd love to hear from you if you have any questions for Travis. And now would be the time to get in. Again, 342-5863. What about aster yellows?
Yes. So what do you think we're going to talk about, Ron? So aster yellows is actually a disease, and it isn't 100% always on just what we consider asters.
Okay.
It affects the entire aster family. So that includes sunflowers, coneflowers, black-eyed Susans. All those are in the Asteraceae family, which then that's where we get the name aster yellows. So it's a deformity that happens in the plant. And generally, we see it on the blooms. The best example is when we see it on our coneflowers is we get this weird leaf clumping growth that comes out of the center of the coneflower. And it will be soft and it'll be green to real pale yellow, and it just looks like a fuzzball. But that is the effects of aster yellows. It's spread by insects. Any of our insects that will suck the juices out of the plant and then move on to a next one, that's what spreads them. It's not the ones that chew on the leaves. This would be like aphids and some of our other plants where they... insects, not plants. Insects that have more of what we call a piercing, sucking, feeding habit. So they actually have to ingest the juices, then move on. And then when they feed on the next one, then it spreads that way. It can also spread a little bit by us if we don't watch what we're doing when we're out cultivating. So it's always a good idea if you think you have it to disinfect any pruning utensils you've been using in the garden, just to be on the safe side. another thing that we can also see is there also is coneflower rosette mites that kind of give the same growth. But unfortunately, that one is only on the bloom itself. Aster yellows can also affect the whole plant. So it can cause more yellowing in the leaves as well as the gnarly weird growth that happens. It's kind of cool looking, to
gnarly
be
weird, huh?
Yeah. On the flower head. Unfortunately, with both of them, the control is to remove the plants. So there's no way to get them to come back. Aster yellows is a virus, so the only way to cure it is to remove the plant and try to take as much of the root system as you can, because it goes through the entire plant. And if you would put another plant back that's within the asters family, you will spread it to that one.
There's a lot of finality here.
There is.
That's it.
Yeah. So that's really all we can do to stop it is just to remove and then pick something that's not in the asters family, which you can always search for that online. There's more than you think in the aster family. A lot of our more common flowers we're used to are all part of that family, unfortunately. But we do tend to see it more on coneflowers than you will on asters themselves. I have seen it in asters, but yeah, the most common one will be on our coneflowers.
So do you get a lot of calls on this?
No, not always. What brought up for me to talk about it was we actually had an exhibit come in with it at the fair.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, I geeked out over because it's pretty cool to see. And the master gardeners thought it was very cool as well. But yeah, we did see it come into the fair on one of our exhibits. And the judge thought it was pretty cool too. Of course, I know our judge. She
she likes
plant diseases, so I know that's why she judged it as she did, because it's for us, it's cool to see that stuff. I know when you tell people that, well, it's going to need to come out if you don't want to keep having
it happen.
Well,
yeah, we're talking about death of a plant here, and you're all excited about it.
Well, yeah, we kind of do. Plant people are a little backwards on that, but but yeah, no, it was pretty cool to see, to have that come in, and that, because it's different to see. Most folks don't know that that is a disease, but that's what we saw.
Well, all right. Aster yellows. That's interesting. So now that we're towards the end of the fair and the Anderson Building, the exhibits have been released and it's all taken care of. Do you have some work to do at the State Fair here in a little bit?
We will. Here in a few weeks, we'll be taking projects out to the State Fair, and then I will stay and help with some of the judging in the plant science department and then I believe Brian will also be helping with some of the livestock shows. So yeah, we as agents, we do get the opportunity to assist in areas at the State Fair, as well as make sure our 4-H'ers projects, Anderson Building type projects, make it to the State Fair safely and are entered in the correct departments. 4-H'ers, it's up to them to get their livestock there. that's on them, because they will show those, but we make sure we get those items entered for them and that. So we'll be working on getting those into the system. Debbie will be, so we can have a good show of items out there again this year.
So do we generally have a lot of State Fair participants here from Lyon County?
Yeah, generally we do. The last few years we've been trying, and this year we are again trying to make sure it all fits in one vehicle. But there has been some years where we have taken out 2 van loads of of stuff, of items. So our 4-H'ers do fantastic work, and if anyone was able to visit the Anderson Building, they would have been able to see that, as well as on the open class. Our community is very well talented all the way around, but the 4-H'ers do Lyon County does a good show at the State Fair too, so it's fun to take all that stuff out there and then to see how it gets judged and displayed. and that, because depending on the department, like our visual arts, some of the craft, what most folks would consider craft items, and even photography, some of those also can get higher up awards than just purple ribbons from the state fair. They can be chosen to be a traveling exhibit through the state of Kansas. And so on those, if they are chosen, they may spend the next year traveling between the governor's office, Rock Springs Ranch, which is the camp, and then the state office and the state foundation, 4-H Foundation. So to get to exhibit at the state fair on your products, and then if it gets chosen, that's a pretty cool award to receive.
Yes, it
and
is.
we have had some of our items from our 4-H'ers get to travel like that. So it's pretty cool when that happens.
All right, state fair coming up in early September.
Yes, just around the corner.
In Hutchinson, yeah. Well, congratulations on a successful fair here. We still have a couple of days left before it is over with. Then we get set for Beef Fest at the Lyon County Fairgrounds.
Brian does not get much of a break this year.
All right. Well, good job on that. You and all your colleagues and all the volunteers and fair board members that are working so hard to bring this big event to the community each and every year. And glad to hear that things have been successful.
Yes. Yes. We just appreciate all of our volunteers, everyone's help, and we appreciate everyone that brought items out to the fair, whether it was open class or 4-H. It's a good year.
I'm Travis. We'll be back here next week with another edition of In the Garden on KVOE, our program brought to you by Waters Hardware. Don't have what you need for that big job? Well, Waters has it in their extensive rental department. Waters Hardware, 2727 West Highway 50, and they are open 7 days a week. By the Emporia Farmers Market, featuring the best of homegrown, homemade, and handmade since 1982. And by Judy Turner with Farm and Home Real Estate. For all of your real estate needs, buying or selling, contact Judy Turner, Farm and Home Real Estate, 344-6165. Back next Thursday with another edition of In the Garden here on KVOE Live and Local.
Live and Local. 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.